Good evening, everybody. Well, it was never in doubt, was it? We were always going to stay up, but I hope everybody's had a great Sunday having listened to all the other results. And Barnsley's still fighting at the very death, getting a winner, but who cares? It all started so well with us at Bristol on Wednesday, and or was it Tuesday? I've forgotten now. It could have even been Thursday. But Gareth, what are your thoughts after the great escape?
Yeah, well, it was just an absolute travesty that we're in there in the first instance. I don't think any of us would disagree with that. But look, you know, I mean, Michael O'Neill's come in, and you know, I don't think anyone would have given us a chance with the current managerial regime at the time. But he's done an absolutely fantastic job, really. And you start to wonder, actually, with a full pre-season behind him and perhaps one or two wheelings and dealings in the transfer window. If you look at the back of one of the Sunday papers today, I think there's some speculation there. But no, I think he's done a fantastic job. And I really am looking forward to next season to see what he can do with a full pre-season behind him and another transfer window.
Well, it all started so well on Wednesday, didn't it? I think it was Wednesday, as I say, when we got the point I thought we richly deserved at Bristol.
Yes, I don't think anyone would disagree that we deserved a point there.
Do you think that Michael O'Neill felt at that stage? He said he was hopeful that we had got enough points then, but do you think, you've heard the post-match, perhaps we'll hear it in a minute, do you think he felt the job was done? Because certainly the boys looked fired up yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think I think whenever you hear Michael O'Neill in these press interviews, and I think a couple of the other journalists have tried to press him on the fact that, look, you know, it's kind of all done bar the shouting. He's really, really played that down, hasn't he, every single time. He doesn't look like the kind of manager who will let any kind of complacency slip into the team. And, you know, you'd have thought that, you know, possibly they'd have been on the summer holidays after the result before Bristol. But no, like you say, they look fired up, and they look fired up again for this particular one as well. And like I say, it's that really that I think that in some of his comments that you'll hear in the press interview are really interesting about players who might not want to be at the club and players who do want to be at the club. And I think he's very quickly found those out, hasn't he, really?
Yeah, so are we going to hear from him now, Gareth?
Yeah, you've caught me on the op. But
sorry, Gareth.
Yeah, we can hear from him now.
Situation I've been in before as a manager. Thankfully, relegation doesn't come into play in international football. Yeah, I've experienced it twice as a player, so I know what the feeling's like. So, yeah, it is a relief. It's to get it finally done, and you know, to do it and win the game against a very, very good team is a positive for us as well. But it's nothing for us to celebrate. It's just something for us to, you know, look at the progress we've made and, you know, look to continue that going forward.
And just,
yeah, I think our home form, I think since I come in, our home form's predominantly been very good. You know, we've not lost many games. The game we lost here against Middlesbrough post-lockdown, I think, was a bit harsh on us. We deserved at least a draw, if not win that game, given the number of chances we had. But it's going to be very important for us going forward. You know, when Stoke were in the Premier League and stayed in the Premier League for 10 years, a big part of that was the form that they had here at the Bet365 and the fact that teams don't like coming here. So that's something that we have to create again. And obviously going forward, we have to make sure that we're better on the road, because we've not picked up enough points away from home. And, you know, we have to be a little bit more resilient away from home. We're playing against a very good team that has a lot of confidence. We knew at times we'd be pushed back, which we were, but I thought, you know, first 20 minutes of the game was fairly even. I thought we probably had the best opportunities in terms of balls and balls in the box. And we didn't really feel under any great threat, I don't think, to be honest. In the whole of the first half, Adam makes one good save when in the opportunity to create, but we scored a good goal. I thought at times we looked capable of adding to that. But second half, we knew that we'd come under pressure. You know, we don't have a lot of depth to the squad, if I'm honest. You know, a lot of younger players sitting on the bench. So we've had to go to the same core group of players repeatedly. And, you know, that's always been a little bit of a pattern in the second half. But And when you have something to hold on to, it's always easier. And a little bit disappointed. We could have taken care of the ball a little bit better when we won it back in the second half. And I think we could have punished them a bit more. But overall, it was a very good defensive performance against a team who I think are the highest scoring team in the division. You know, that's one of the benefits of playing the back three. When you're deep, you defend the box better. So the back three were all terrific. But, you know, what we got a little bit deep, what makes it more difficult for us to get up to the ball. And front two were excellent as well, because particularly in the first half, they really worked Brentford and put pressure on them. And, you know, delighted for Lee Gregory to get the goal, because he had a couple of opportunities on Wednesday night and he didn't take them, but he played extremely well in that game. So delighted for him that he got the goal today. I'll probably celebrate well for myself, because it is, you know, when I came in, I thought, you know, this is a big task. I felt there was more in the squad when I took the job, but it wasn't easy at the start. You know, we had too many players that didn't want to be at the club. We had loan players who weren't really contributing very much to the club either. But you can't address that until January. So, you know, we had a turnover of 6 players going out and 3 players coming in, 2 of them relatively younger players as well. But what we did get was a better version of a squad, a more streamlined version, and a hungrier group of players. And, you know, we've come down after post-lockdown. We've obviously been with without Ryan Shawcross, for practically the whole season. And since, obviously, coming back, we've been without Joe Allen, who, you know, up until then with Sam Clucas had been our best player. So I think the squad deserves good praise for that. But equally, you know, we don't want to be celebrating just staying in the division. We want to be making progress and challenging at the other end of the table. Delighted for Adam, because it's been frustrating for him. He's had to wait his chance. And, you know, obviously he's behind a top-class goalkeeper in Jack Butland. But what he has done is shown what he's about. 2 clean sheets in 3 games. And, you know, as I say, it's been a positive end for the season for him and positive for me, looking forward to next season as well. Well, well, I think there'll be plenty of drama next year as well. I think that's the nature of the championship. But, you know, I think the only game that I was really disappointed with the performance was Wigan. We played. We never got going at Wigan for whatever reason, given what was at stake. You know, we lost 2 very poor goals as well, the first 2 goals, and the game slips away from you against a very hungry Wigan team. You know, against Leeds, we were beaten by a very good team, and reality was a 2-0 down. You know, the game went away from us in the space of 5 minutes, and it's at that time you have to start to look at the next game. So, in all honesty, we made substitutions in that game to try and preserve legs for the next game. And with that in mind, obviously, we probably weakened the team a little bit. So, you know, that's what we did see at the Leeds game. What we saw today is the benchmark, what you need in this division to be at the other end of the table. You know, we've beaten West Brom away, we've beaten Brentford at home. You know, we took a spanking off Leeds away. So we know what the league's about. For me, it gives me an indication of what you need in your team as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So some interesting thoughts there from the manager, Ange.
There were, indeed. I mean, I felt after we got that point on in midweek, we were home and hosed. But when you look at today's result, like Barnsley scoring a winner in the dying embers of the match, theoretically, you know, Barnsley, who were second bottom, could still get out on goal difference. So I'm just so glad now that for the last match against Notts Forest, we can take a relaxed view and watch with interest who stays up. Personally, I would really like Wigan to stay up, because I think the way they've played in the latter half of the season has been fantastic. But going back to us, Gareth, I know KU Stokey's said a couple of things on the oatcake, and I've got a few things from some of our overseas fans, like Dave Palin, who just says, talking about managers and the way people sack and want instant success, did you know that the Cowley brothers have gone from Huddersfield today? And he understood at that point that Pearson had gone from Watford. One thing's for certain, I think Michael O'Neill is a man of honour, and a lot of people are now worried that he might leave. I think he took the job at Stoke because he was very happy with the model. He said so many times he's happy with the model. And it makes a bit of a mockery about how people talk about the Coates family and they should get rid of the club. Because when you see what's happened to Wigan, who now have all this potential of points deduction due to a fit and proper persons event that didn't obviously work, I think we've got great owners. And for me, when I say great owners, they always look like they back their manager. And as I've said before, in my opinion, what they do is they give too much money to the managers to waste on high profile, overpaid, and certainly in the past few years, underperforming players. Yeah. We're getting one or two people saying they can't hear us on Mixlr or TuneIn, which is very odd because where we're sitting, everything's working fine. So it might be that too many people are listening. So we do apologise for that. And if you can't hear us, it's pointless me making the apology. So what did KU Stokey have to say?
He said, as always, I'm looking forward to the show. What a crazy season and crazy times you live in. I've been over here and for nearly 40 years, but I get back a few times a year on business. Those trips away seem to be conveniently arranged around Stoke's fixture list. I had the pleasure of meeting Angela a few... Now I know why you've made me read this. I had the pleasure of meeting Angela a few seasons ago and remember being asked what I missed the most. After family, without hesitation, I told Angela football in general and Stoke in particular. I hardly ever miss a match, even if it means getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I always look forward to the show. It's great to hear Pottery's accents and your candid analysis. I miss the banter. What a fair weather supporter Russ turned out to be. But what do we expect from a lawyer, he says. I'm really looking forward to next season. O'Neill is exactly what we need. I think he saw we had some good players, but a very poor team that was badly mismanaged by his predecessors. He simplified the system, identified a core group he could rely on and played them, for the most part, in their preferred positions. He seemed to like being at Stoke and relishes the opportunity to build something from the ground up. It might take 3 or 4 years to get us where we want to be, but I think he's the man for the job, unlike the previous two incumbents. Stay safe in the off-season, and I look forward to tuning in again in August.
Well, we've got quite a few people who've joined us on Zoom, so thanks for joining. We've muted your microphones for obvious reasons. If you do want to speak, there is a little feature, whether you're on your Mac, on your iPad, on your phone, or on your any other computer. It's in different areas, and if you see, if you click on it at the top or the bottom, whichever it is for you, raise your hand if you want to speak, and Gareth will unmute your microphone. So, from my perspective, Gareth, talking about next season now, because we are safe, and I thought the performance the lads put in yesterday was not just one of good teamwork, but outstanding organisation. And considering Brentford had won all their previous 8 games, I thought that Michael O'Neill outfoxed their manager and they had no answer to get round our players. And I have to say that I thought Danny Bart in the last 2 or 3 games has been outstanding. Chester, I thought, put in a good shift yesterday. But I do still worry about the pace in the back four, because Bruno Martins-Indy isn't a left-back. How many years have we said we want a left-back, Gareth? And in the next transfer window, in my opinion, we won't be getting too many players in because we'll struggle to get some of the players out. But we need a left-back for certain, probably another combative defensive midfielder. And I do think we need another person up front. Whether Benny Cofobi comes back and plays for us or not, I think we need a pacey striker. And you've got somebody like Thibaut Verlinden coming back. Hopefully Joe Allen will be fit. What happens to the likes of Kevin Wimmer? Who knows? Moritz Bauer? Who knows? The two African players will probably be loaned out again. And I can't think, Ryan Woods maybe will go to Millwall. So we're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination with the players we've got.
No, I mean, what do you think about Joe Allen? Do you think he'll stay? I mean, he's been a good servant to the club. And like I say, I think most thought he'd go when we dropped a division. I think he had opportunities too. I think the manager is right. He has been a big miss, hasn't he?
He has been a great big miss, definitely. But to me, I think he will stay. I think if we'd have got relegated, he would have gone. Because nobody is going to want to play, of that calibre player, is going to want to play first division football. Whether you're playing for Wales, the Republic of Ireland, whoever, you're not going to want to play first division football. And I think quite a few players would have wanted away. if we hadn't stayed up. But he's got the players sorted now, I think, and he must know who he wants to stay in that core group and who he doesn't.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It was quite interesting in his post-match analysis that he did mention, and I think he has mentioned it in the press in the week, I think, unless I'm mistaken, that he did say that that there was a number of players who were in the squad who, when he first joined, who didn't really want to actually be there. And it's good that he recognises that, and he seems to have got his squad around him that he wants. It is a bit bare, like he quite rightly says. We do have players returning, the quality of which we'll have to wait and see when they come back, and whether Benny Kofobe does feature up front next season, I'm not sure. But yeah, it is going to take, like KU Stokey said, it is going to take several seasons, I think, to get the players out that he wants to get out, and the players in that he wants to get in. But that's what's happened with having several managers in quick succession, haven't they? They've almost had to deal a lot with other managers' players, and it's a cumulative effect. So he's got like two or three managers with the players that he probably wants to get out, but nobody may want them on the wages that they're on at the moment, so they probably sit where they are for a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I see Wayne's champing at the bit, ready to join us. So I don't know whether he's done his dishes yet, or whether he's deterring having his dinner until later on. Wayne, what did you think about firstly Wednesday, and then again yesterday?
I think it's been a massive turnaround, hasn't it? The last few games have been really, really positive. And just shows what we sort of can do when we're on this game.
What would you do in terms of next season, Wayne? How many of those players would you keep?
I don't think we need massive changes. I think we've seen, like I say, what the squad is capable of, and we obviously need a left back. We probably need a centre half, and then probably really the rest of the squad isn't that bad. You know, we've got Alan coming back, we've got Belinda coming back, Benny Kofobe coming back. You know, the squad is good, and the manager hopefully will have the pre-season to get his points over better and fine-tune everything. And, you know, we're not really that far out, you know, considering what he's done since he's been in. You know, are we a million miles away? You know, a few new faces in, you know, might make us a totally different side.
Well, Was there any point when you thought we've gone, we've had it? When was the worst point for you?
I thought we were gone when O'Neill come in. I just couldn't see us staying up. Not how they were playing. You know, what you heard from, you know, the dressing room. You know, what was rumoured to be going on? They'd give up. They'd give up. You know, we would have gone down with record points with Jones in charge.
You think so?
Yeah. They didn't want to play for the guy. They just got no respect for him, as they all had.
He seems to be doing a good job at Luton.
Yeah, because, well, obviously the players know him, don't they? They know what he's about, you know, and some, obviously, a lot of the Stoke players just didn't take to him, just didn't like him at all, you know, what he was trying to put over, and didn't want to play for him, and just down tools, you know, which is, as a professional, is poor, isn't he, really? No.
It's a strange thing, because I don't really want to say this, but I'm going to anyway. I don't want to come across as the arrogance of a former Premier League team, but it seems an odd turn of events that within 12, 18 months we're actually rejoicing, you know, beating Brentford by a goal to nil. It just shows just how far we've come, really, in such a rapid space of time.
I think it's been the case with most teams that come down. There's only been Burnley, I think, recently, and probably Newcastle, who bounced back. Everybody's struggled, haven't they? Everybody's struggled dropping down. No players don't want to be there. And then a lot of clubs in the same boat as us, players on big wages, big contracts, you can't shift them. You know, you can't blame the players for that. That's the club's fault, isn't it?
Yeah, he says, and you look at the quality of the teams that are coming down as well. I mean, obviously Villa and Norwich, and yes, you know, they are bottom in the relegation zone for a reason, but you'd actually look at those players, probably similar to we did, actually, and think, you know, that their squad's really good. And every season that goes by, the quality of who comes down goes up, and of course, it's harder to get out of that league, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely, yeah. We need, like I say, some good recruitment in the summer, don't we? Some players who want to play for the club, and you, like with everything, you need a better look, don't you? You know, maybe we got that better look now with the signing of O'Neill, you know, bringing him in. You know, that was another gamble, wasn't it, really? You know, he hadn't managed in the English League, but obviously he knows what he's doing, because what he's done at Stoke's been amazing, unbelievable.
Do you think that, I know you've said we won't be buying too many players, and it's going to be a difficult transfer window for everybody, Premier League right the way down, because lack of money, whatever. But do you think of the players that are out on loan, any of them that are coming back, there are 7 out on loan, any of them coming back you think will do a job for Stoke, or do you think we'll have to get rid of them all out on loan, or even better, get rid of them in some way?
I think that depends on the player, doesn't it? You know, some might want to stay now, some just want to go, don't they? And some just want to sit and take the money. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Difficult one. I don't know.
Looking forward.
We need players who are probably a bit more comfortable on the ball. Like yesterday, at times, you know, we're just aimlessly knocking the ball, you know, smashing the ball away. You know, at that level of, you know, in the Championship, you've got to have some quality on you to retain possession, you know, in tight areas. But at times we just aimlessly turn the ball over. You know, hopefully Alan back in the midfield will help us to do that. But defensively wise, at times, like I say, you know, we just give the ball away. You know, you can't do that at any level, because eventually you're gonna succumb to being under pressure and conceding goals, which we tend to do.
Before we let you, Gareth, have his last question, I'm going to ask you my last question. Do you care who goes down
from the Championship? No, yeah. No. So, no, I'm not bothered, no.
So you're not bothered at all now?
Yeah, I'd like to see Birmingham go down, but I don't think they will. I think it's the bottom three now, isn't it? So, yeah.
You think Luton will go?
Yeah, yeah.
Or do you hope Luton go?
No, to be fair, I enjoyed my day when I went down. It's the first time I've been to Luton this season, and I enjoyed my day out down there. So I've got no real hatred for them. It's just a strange ground, very strange ground. So no, I'm not fussed who goes down. No, no.
Yeah, I mean,
just nice for once that, you know, we've sort of been in control of his own destiny and kept it that way. And for once, we haven't been the charity case, you know, relying on other teams and folding under pressure. So we might be turning a corner. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Charlton have got a really tough game against Leeds, of course. But Hull have almost got a dead rubber against Blackburn, really. Well, from Blackburn's perspective. So I suppose Luton.
You mean Luton, don't you? Do you not mean Luton?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. They've got a match against Blackburn, and that's, to be honest, for Blackburn, that's going to be a bit of a dead rubber, isn't it? Especially with no crowd there as well. But like I say, Charlton have got Leeds, and that's so. Really, I suppose at the moment the fortune favours Luton, I would say.
And Barnsley at Brentford, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, you would. I'm a bit in the same camp as Wayne. I mean, last night, I really didn't care that Arsenal had got through to the final of the FA Cup, which normally would have gutted me, but because we'd won and because I didn't really care anymore about other football matches, in fact, I don't care who wins between Manchester United and Chelsea, which is currently non-each.
How did Barnsley go on today? Did they draw?
They won.
They won the last pick of the game, so they could
get out of the goal difference.
Right, okay, the last I saw it was 0-0, so right, I didn't realise it won, so right.
So they could actually get out on goal difference. So we'll, as I say, it's just going to be interesting. But we'll leave you there to listen if you want to, Wayne. But I don't know, for those of you that are listening for the first time or watching this for the first time on Zoom, Wayne normally shows us where his dustbins are, which is a, shows that the weather's changed. And also he tends to pretend he has to go off and do the washing up afterwards. So
now they're still eating. I've left. I'll have to go back.
All right. Well, you go back and enjoy it. But can I just ask you one last thing, Wayne? What would you consider to be success next season?
I would think top six.
And do you think we can do that?
Yeah, I think we can.
Well, listen, thanks for helping us out as ever. Go back and enjoy your tea or dinner, whatever you call it, up in Biddulph. And I'll see you soon.
Okay, take care. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Gareth, we need now to concentrate, I think, on the game against Brentford on Saturday, because as I said earlier on, I thought we looked a far better, far more organised team than we have done for a long time, and it was almost like a Tony Pulis side. And I don't use that lightly. We defended well, we were resolute, but the team spirit was great. And as I speak now, Chelsea have just taken the lead against Manchester United. David De Gea did a Jack Butland. And that wasn't a great save. I mean, seriously, I feel for the bloke. But carry on. Sorry, I asked you a question.
We did. We looked far more organised. It's interesting, though, that Michael O'Neill said that he kind of preferred and he liked that back three. I didn't, and I think it's because, particularly, I know we were chatting about this last night, but I don't think Bruno Martins Indy looks the best at a fullback, does he? Really, I think we need somebody else in there if he's going to play that kind of back three where you've got those fullbacks there.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have some sympathy for Bruno Martins Indy because. He's not a fullback, and this goes back to what I was saying to you before. How many years is it now since we've actually had a proper left back? I mean, he clearly doesn't look like the options that we've got. Stephen Ward's obviously gone, and I wasn't, he was obviously a short term measure. Tom Edwards, he doesn't seem to favour for whatever reason. So we need to be looking for a back, and there's already rumours about Chris Brunt. And that doesn't do anything other than, it's again another, what is he, 34? Might even be older. But that's again another stopgap issue, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. And you did say about the depth in the squad as well, and you kind of looked at the bench and you kind of thought to yourself, you're right, we are looking really, really thin. On the bench, and I mean, where do we go with Tom Ince? Do you think now? I mean, is he going to turn it around pre-season? Do you think, or where can you see Tom Ince fitting in next season?
Well, my personal opinion is he's going to have to prove a great deal to figure for me. But Adam's joined us, and I know Adam's a big fan of Tom Ince, so maybe Adam would like to answer that question. Adam, good evening.
Good evening. I was a big fan of Tom Ince when he joined. I thought he was a fabulous signing, come with proven championship pedigree, but he just keeps blowing the opportunities that he gets. I think O'Neill's given him put a lot of faith in him. But he just doesn't seem to want to repay us, and I'm not really sure what the problem is with Ince, to be honest. So I don't think I would lose any sleep if we managed to get a few million for him and shipped him out, to be honest.
What are your thoughts then? I mean, obviously we're all delighted that we've stayed up, but what are your thoughts for next season? What do you think we need to do to improve?
It's a difficult one. I've just been writing a few things down here about kind of position wise and players, and I think it's quite easy to think that we need a major overhaul. But if you go into, if you look at it closely, I think the first few months of the season mask what what O'Neill's managed to do with these players. You know, we've all been looking at the stats around pre-O'Neill and post and post-Jones. And O'Neill, with the same squad of players that Rowett had and what Jones has had, has done wonders with them. So, you know, do we actually need the overhaul that some might think? Because this squad of players have proven that actually they could probably get us at least into the top 10 and maybe even pushing for the playoffs. And with a few extra additions to those, I mean, I've just written down here, we're going to need a goalkeeper. I would imagine Butland is going to go, which, you know, I think is probably the right decision now. How much we'll get for him is anyone's guess. But Davis, I think, has proven that he's more than capable. So we're going to need a backup for him, I would imagine. We obviously need a left back, but really we need two left backs because we haven't got one at the moment. Now, if we get Brunt as the backup, which I wouldn't be too disappointed in for a season, proven championship player, then we need, you know, we need that kind of attacking, marauding left back. And then you look at the centre halves. I think, Ange, I don't know what you think about Shawcross or whether you've spoken about Shawcross, but I think it's probably unlikely now that we're going to see Shawcross feature too much moving forward. I don't know what your thoughts are on that one.
I honestly have mixed feelings about Ryan. I hope he gets to be 100% fit again because I know he worked really, really hard to be in tip-top form this time. But you have to say, with the amount of injuries he's had, it looks like it's beginning to catch up on him. And I don't think he'll be a regular starter for Stoke going forward, which is a great pity. I hope he stays in the club like Rory has in some capacity, and I think he will. And I think his heart is firmly set on being a manager at the football club in the future. And we need to have some continuity of old players now back in the squad. But I was saying before you joined us, we need the left back that we haven't had for years. We need a combative central midfielder. And I think we need another forward. And as much as Jack Butland's been a great goalkeeper for us, I don't know if you saw David De Gea's mistake a minute ago, Adam, but it was priceless in the cup semi-final.
Yeah, I missed it as I was coming on to this, actually, as he just dropped a clanger.
He did have Jack Butland. And I think Jack would benefit from leaving the club. And I think we would benefit from him leaving.
Yeah, I think the fans, Gareth, they've lost confidence in Jack now, I think, haven't they? And I think particularly now Davis has come in for the last, the last few games and done... you know, he had a great game again yesterday. He just seems to do everything that Jack's forgotten to do, I think, now, Davis, commanding his area. I think when you're playing games behind closed doors, you know, you can hear Davis a lot. He seems to be really one to command his area. He's looked really solid, you know, the one-on-one on at Bristol City. Although, you know, the striker fluffed it a little bit. You know, Davis came out really confident that he was going to block it. So I haven't got any qualms in Davies taking over from Butland.
No, no.
No, me neither. Sorry, Gareth, go.
No, I was just going to say, he does. And I'm just wondering whether Butland's, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, I don't know whether Butland's kind of looked over his shoulder a bit and thought, well, actually, even if I have a couple of bad games, you know, there's no one really challenging me, and a bit of complacency's kind of set in. And obviously, a bit of competition's great for him. And I think Davies has gone in there and he's taken his chance. And hopefully that lifts the quality of both players to try and battle his way back into the team.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of centre-half, Ange, we've got Suter coming back from Fleetwood, who's got rave reviews, I think. And he's had a great season at Fleetwood. Obviously, Chester's out of contract. You know, he's looked ropey in a few games, but I think the last two or three, he's looked quite solid again. So I don't know whether we take a gamble on him as a free transfer, although his wages, I imagine, would be quite high. But, I do think if Ryan is going to be missing, I would imagine Indy will probably move on as well. So there's probably a gap there at centre-half as well.
Yeah, I think you're probably right with that too. What I find the hardest thing is you look at the players we've got coming back, Adam, and just before we let you go, how many of those would you keep in your squad?
Well, it's a difficult one, isn't it? You know, they're all, you know, most of those players coming back would probably get into the starting 11 on ability. You've just got to question the attitude, their aptitude. If anyone can get a tune out of them, it's O'Neill, I would imagine. But I'm not sure he's going to be one who wants to give them an opportunity. I think he wants to burn bridges with as many of the past as he possibly can in order for us to move on. So I would imagine he will be trying to ship out as many as he possibly can, and, you know, get as much as we possibly can for them, if anything, and start afresh. But I think what we don't want to do really is bloat the squad again. So I think really we need to be trying to offload as soon and as quickly as possible, because we don't want, again, another five or six coming in, new players, and then we're not able to shift the five or six that are coming back, and then we're kind of back to square one again, really. So, I think, you know, a midfield, again, of Atebo and Ndai would be brilliant in terms of ability. But, again, they don't want to be at the football club anymore, so we need to get rid of them and move them on.
Well, listen, Adam, thanks for all your contributions over the season. It's going to be a very short close season, so we look forward to seeing you again soon. The FA Cup final's on the 1st of August. People are hoping that Stoke will be back in action in August. I think it'll be September. So we look forward to seeing you at some point soon, and thanks for all your help over the year.
No problem. I'm glad it ended on a high.
Certainly did.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Gareth, you're going to play out the last Michael O'Neill interview, aren't you, from the Brentford game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Michael, mission accomplished. Accomplished by great teamwork, some good desire, dare I say, bottle, and a unit that you can build on.
Yeah, the performance displayed all of that. Real competitiveness, real desire not to be beaten in the game or not concede, which was important. You know, Brentford were in a situation where obviously a draw was a big result for them. So they left a lot of men forward. And, you know, the only way to combat that when you're behind or in front, rather, is to leave men back. There's no real other solution than that. Where we could have been better was we could have counterattacked a little bit better. But I think second half we were tired. You know, we've relied on a core group of players for a big part of these games. And so we probably, you know, we gave the ball away at times. A little bit hastily, or rushed our decisions a little bit in the second half. But, you know, that desire that you talked about was there in abundance, and it's good to see, because you'll not achieve anything in this division unless you have that. And, you know, you need to have it, you know, on a regular basis to make sure that, you know, we don't find ourselves in the position we did when we came into the club.
You were obviously very pleased with the way everybody performed. As Pete Smith said, there was a few running on less than empty towards the end, but now you've maybe got a chance to relax a little bit, although I know you'll want to win the last game and give a good account of yourselves, but maybe some of the youngsters that were sitting on the bench might get a look in now.
Well, we've had 30 games since we come in, and until today, every game, every point in those 30 games has been so precious. So you're right, we've played under a lot of pressure. The lads have had to deal with that as well. You know, there's a lot, you know, that causes anxiety in players as well. So, you know, I think what we saw today was the difference in the team, which was a bit more free-flowing than we are, because they're not playing with that anxiety. They have a different type of prize to play for, and they've been excellent all season. But we won't change the team unnecessarily. People have to earn the right to play. You know, one of the things for me, a little bit disappointment for me, is that the young boys haven't given us enough since we come in. They may say they haven't had limited, they've had limited opportunities, but you have to earn your opportunity. So come Wednesday, we'll pick a team to win the game, and we won't just pick a team to give people an opportunity.
Well, I think just finally, thank you for keeping Stoke up, and go and enjoy, whether it's the Guinness, the whiskey or whatever, go and enjoy one.
Thanks, Angela. Take care.
That was a nice way to round off your piece, Ange.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure whether he drinks whiskey. He has said that, but look, he is he has undoubtedly performed. I would say he was very close to, obviously we're both biased, but I would say he's very close to being manager of the season, given the fact that when we came, when he came to us, we had a very minor points amount. I think it was 8. And we were on record, heading for a record of the lowest ever points total, I think, in the world of football, let alone the championship. And when you look at the squad being the most expensive squad ever in the championship, there is nothing to celebrate other than the relief, because I think maybe it might have finally hit home with people. He said so many times, Gareth, that this squad is not as good as people have thought it was. And I think that was the most telling thing he said. He's hardly going to turn around and criticise the people that are paying him. But that's as close as he could get, I think, when he said that this squad is not as good as people think. And when you look at Brentford, which again he's highlighted, and he's talked very carefully about how they've been a 4 or 5 year project, then if it's a 5 year project and we've got another 4 years to go before we shift anything, then we've got maybe 4 more years of lumber to get rid of. And I'm not so sure that the owners will want to do that. I think the owners will be wanting a little, like when Tony Pulis came in, he sorted it out fairly swiftly, but he didn't have the 7 or 8 players who, as Adam said when he came on, don't want to stay at this football club or aren't good enough at this football club. And Michael O'Neill, one of his strengths is he's very good at working out what is needed at in a football squad. He did it with Northern Ireland. My understanding is he's been offered jobs at other clubs, and the other clubs haven't they haven't married well with him in terms of what he wants. And I think this club is right for him in what he wants. And I think he'll be a bit like Tony Pulis was with this football club. I think he knows exactly how long the project he feels will take. He's going to try and lower people's expectations, because already, after we've just escaped relegation by the skin of our teeth, it does make you laugh. I know you're laughing already.
I know what you're going to say.
People are already saying we'll go up. We'll go up next season. We'll be champions next season. How on earth are we going to go unless we have Ronaldo and Messi join us in the close season? How you can swing, but that's what football fans do. At the opening day of last season, I was convinced we'd go up. I was convinced that the chest-thumping Nathan Jones would get us up. He didn't. Nobody comes to a football club and doesn't want it to work out. But I think it was Adam and Wayne both said he didn't want to play. The players didn't take to him. They've taken to O'Neill. And I think he will do a very good job for the football club. And I'll be surprised if we're not around the top 8 next season. I think he will have sufficient funds and sufficient impact on the players that he's already got, and maybe one or two of those who are coming back from elsewhere. I think Benny Kofobe may play well at Stoke. I think if he wants to stay, because he's had all sorts of problems. Firstly, the supporters didn't take to him and gave him dogs abuse. Secondly, we know the problem he had personally, and that takes a bit of getting over, I would think. Or, I mean, you probably never get over it. But I just hope he comes back and does well at Stoke, because he's a proven goal scorer.
He is. And I think I know exactly what you're saying there about managing expectations. My expectation next season, and you asked Adam a very poignant question about what he would consider success next season. And from a selfish perspective, I don't mind where we finish outside of the relegation zone, as long as we can get some joy back into supporting Stoke City. Because for the last 12 to 18 months plus, it's been laborious, it's been a chore, and it's not felt like something that you go to for entertainment. It's felt like something that you go to out of habit, and because you feel bad if you don't. It's like visiting a distant relative. You feel like you have to rather than you feel like you want to. And when you're sitting there, it's all a bit awkward. And for me, my expectation and want and hope for next season is that Michael O'Neill can give me the joy and entertainment back into, hopefully, touch wood, going to games in a safe and sensible manner. But that's all I want out of next season and in the forthcoming seasons. We've had a situation where we've asked plenty of times, and a large number of supporters that initially did surprise me, they said that they would take winning a cup and being relegated. I still wouldn't take that, but I know what they mean. It's that joy and excitement, and that's what I want Michael O'Neill to bring back into the club, and that's my hope for next season.
Gareth, I'm just, you talk about bringing things to the club and enjoyment, and there have been times, and I know what you're saying, and I haven't really enjoyed the season since we've come out of the Premier League. I've not really enjoyed it. Now, there were people that were saying, okay, we'll have a much better time in the Championship because we'll win more matches. Well, that died a death very quickly because, I mean, we didn't win many matches at all. And under Gary Rowett, we didn't win a great deal of matches. But as you say, the football, you want to see football that you want to watch. On the other hand, I wouldn't mind us being horrible to watch next season and going up. I think there's a fine line between people who go to watch football for football's sake and people who just want to win. And your attitude towards football and mine might be different because having played sport professionally, to me, the ultimate goal is to win. And if you win with entertainment, that's brilliant. But nobody... It's like today's semi-final, and incidentally, if you're watching us and are going to watch the match later, close your ears now, because David De Gea has just done another one. It's 2-0 now. To me, nobody will remember who lost the semi-final of the FA Cup. Many people won't remember that we lost to Manchester City in the final. Are you proud that we got to the final? Of course, yes, but to me, the ultimately is you win it. And if you win with style, that's great. But if you win, that's even better. So, yes, it would be nice to see Stoke play better football. But for me, I go to watch Stoke City win. If they entertain, that's even better.
Yeah, and it's not really about entertainment, I suppose. You know, like I say, I'd much prefer, you know, is to win and win ugly. But I'd like to feel part of Stoke City again because you kind of feel a bit on the edge of it, as the cusp of it. I think ever since the latter seasons under Mark Hughes, I think the fans in the club have been a bit disconnected. And I just think, you know, Michael O'Neill just could be the person to heal that bit of a rift there, if you like. And it's just about the enjoyment. Like you say, you know, if we're winning and we're together and we're battling the odds and, you know, there's some crunching tackles going in, to me, that's entertainment. Not necessarily carpet football, but I would just love to go to Stoke City consistently. I'm not saying I don't enjoy going to Stoke City, but I'm saying consistently looking forward to it rather than, right, you know, I could be painting the fence while I'm sat here.
I don't think too many people want the paint fences anymore because they've been doing all that in lockdown. do you feel, though, that given the reasonable nature of Michael O'Neill, he will be trying to... He's said that he wants to bring a team that the city can be proud of and the fans can be proud of. Do you think that he will play entertaining football?
Having seen him over the last few, it's quite strange, isn't it? Really, because we've just been talking about his three at the back. We've also seen that sometimes, just sometimes, he started to play the old square pegs in round holes game again. But to be honest, I don't think he's a carpet football type of person. But, you know, he, I think with the right people around him, I think he could be a really entertaining manager to to watch. I think there's going to be a couple of games when we all sit there scratching heads thinking, why has he chosen that lineup or why has he dropped that person? But I think that's just part and parcel of being a football fan. I think he could be the man to bring some kind of unity and something, you know, some pride back into the football club.
There are lots of little pictures of Michael O'Neill drinking Guinness and whiskey at the moment going around on social media. There's also pictures of social distancing and little jokes about Port Vale. And I do have to laugh because I have friends, as you know, well, acquaintances, I won't call them friends anymore, who support the Vale. And my utter despair has been the great delight they have taken in the fact that they were hoping for us to go down. So I've kept myself my powder dry till this point, but all I'm going to say is those of you in Burslem, put the rockets, the sparklers and the bunting away and hope that you can get it out again next year when your team hopefully get into the first division. There's actual thoughts that I've had in the last couple of weeks where I know quite a lot of people that work at Stoke City, and I'm sure it's been the same at Port Vale, but when you are in a situation where your club may go down, and the Vale almost went out of existence last season or the season before, the people, the hard and fast people of the city who work for the football clubs, particularly Stoke, were in danger of losing their jobs. And I'm just so pleased for the people I know that work at the football club, who've worked there all their lives. It's more than a job to local people when they work at the football club. I'm really pleased that they've managed to turn it round to keep all those people in employment. And that's the first thing. For the manager, who, if you want to look at, there's a picture of him shaking hands. I think it was on the Stoke website this week, of him shaking hands with the Brentford manager when he first took over. And you have a look at Michael O'Neill then, and you have a look at Michael O'Neill now. And I know he's had COVID-19 or been asymptomatic, but gosh, it's aged in the last few months. So I hope he gets a decent break, and I hope that he comes back, because what he's done has been remarkable. We all know that. But I think some of the players need to take a long, hard look at themselves and ask themselves, whilst we're all rejoicing that we've stayed up, those players have cost this football club an awful lot of money, and now they're coming out with the, yeah, we know it's not been good enough. Yeah, we know it's we shouldn't be rejoicing at celebrating and celebrating at staying up, but they should be looking at themselves and saying to themselves, excuse me, why did we get ourselves in this mess? Why do you think we did, Gareth?
Well, you're quite right. When you talked before about the club not backing the managers, and I think they have allowed the managers, and it's strange criticism, isn't it, really, to lay anywhere. And they've allowed managers to bring in whomever they've liked, under what terms that they've liked. And we've signed a large number of players on very high wages, on very lengthy contracts, because, you know, managers wanted them. We've gone out of a way to do that. And I think that some of the managers have brought in players and compounded the issue. We've had bad players on top of bad players on top of bad players. And if you're a manager and you know your only objective is to stay around for 18 months, 2 years, you're not going to have any care that you know somebody's asking for a 4 or 5 year contract on loads of wages. You just want to get over that initial line. But I think we've just had a situation where we've had too many players brought in. But, you know, and we've not addressed certain areas. I mean, when was the last time, really and truly, we've had a decent 15-goal-a-season striker, really, at this football club? We've not had one for a long, long while, have we, really?
No, we haven't. And then immediately, I don't know, the people listening on all sorts of platforms at the moment, but the people listening on this one, my mind instantly went to Ricardo Fuller. Then you go back to Mark Steen.
Yeah.
Then you go back to Mike Sherren. Certainly not Keith Scott. And then you begin to think, wow, you know, we've never had really great prolific scorers. Peter Crouch is probably a player we should mention. But then when you look at his record at Stoke, although he played a lot of games, we haven't had a great prolific scorer. And we were so close, I understand, to getting Dwight Gale, and then he went off to West Brom, and of course they didn't get promoted with him. And I'd like to think that if we were going to splash out any huge amount, it would be on somebody like that. But I seriously don't think, Gareth, that there'll be a huge amount of money spent over the summer because of the effects of COVID, because people haven't got the necessary disposable income with what's gone on. And I think there might be a lot of swap deals in the future. I really do. I think there'll be more swaps and lesser money deals than we're expecting this time.
Yeah. And if anyone is on this platform, we're on Zoom at the moment, does want to take part and have a say, then please let us know, and we'll unmute your microphone. But for you, what's been your highlight of the season, looking at the season as a whole then?
The highlight of the season was when Michael O'Neill became manager, because at that moment in time I thought we had the chance of staying up. As I said earlier, I felt that nobody comes to a football club and doesn't want to do well, particularly a manager. But for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And it was like, for him, death by a thousand cuts, because we all thought he was going before he did. We know that he said goodbye to the players a couple of times. We were close to getting a manager from another club who then decided at the last minute he wasn't going to leave and come to us. So it's quite bizarre the way this has turned out, because when we got the capped one, he came as a result of somebody else not fancying the job. Burley didn't fancy the job.
It's already started, yeah.
Yeah, and then we have a situation where we thought we'd sign the manager from another Championship club, or he'd agreed to join us, and then for whatever reason didn't. So we got O'Neill. And it's funny how things have a habit of turning out like that. Tony Pulis saved us from almost certain relegation towards the end of one season, and then two seasons later, I think it was, we were up there. And I'm hoping this guy does the same. I think it will. I think he'd be a very good manager for the football club. So that was my highlight. The other highlight, there haven't been too many, but I guess beating West Brom at West Brom, finally, that was good. And when just before COVID, I thought the last match of the season that I was going to see was going to be the actual beating of Hull. And I thought that would be great for us. That would be the end of the season, because I didn't think the matches would be played. I didn't think the matches would actually take place. And I think one of the problems when we came back was that obviously Michael O'Neill was ill, so we missed that match. I think a lot of the players didn't think it was coming back either. So those were my highlights. What about yours?
Yeah, again, I was going to say exactly the same as you, really, about Michael O'Neill. What a turnout that he, you know, and what a turnaround he's made. And it's just so pleasing to see that. And like I say, his approach has been something that I think that's been needed for a while. He's very, very quickly identified the team that he wants. He's very, very quickly identified the players who want to be at this football club and those who don't. And for me, he's definitely been the highlight of the season. But obviously, I can't see us having any kind of player awards, but, you know, award ceremony, of course. But if we were, who would be your player of the season?
For me, it's Sam Clucas.
I was going to say that as well.
Well, I mean, any guy can score 11 goals from midfield.
Yeah.
And we'd be lost without his goals. Followed by, I never thought I'd say this, James McLean and Nick Powell. And Nick Powell has, if it hadn't have been for his sending off, I would have put him above James McLean, because that was stupid. But he's put a shift in, as well as being a forward that shouldn't be in the Championship. I think he should be playing higher. But he's put a shift in for us, as well as providing class. He's gone back and he's defended. So for me, it's Sam Clucas. And I think he's taken the armband very well too. we've had a text in from Ray in Malta. He says, look, I know Michael O'Neill has saved us from the brink, but I just hope we don't expect Stoke to become a recruitment club for the Northern Ireland international players, given the rumours flying about.
Yeah.
He says, I think the bloke's great, but please God, some of these rumours make them not true.
Yeah, and it's only going to be natural, though, isn't it, really, that a player or a manager turns to his former stomping ground to take the players that he wants. But, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. But, you know, we've had managers here that do that all the time, though, haven't we, really? They go dipping back into their old team. You know, Nathan Jones did it a bit, and, you know, other managers do it. But, yeah, I know what he means, though.
Well, we're all, because this is the last one of the season, I think we need to make a few thanks. We'd like to thank everybody that's come on over the season and made some contributions to us. I just hope that you'll continue to listen. We'll go back to normal and be the two-hour show when the season starts again, Gareth, won't we? And I think we're trying to get some more features, aren't we, for next season, Gareth?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, we want your interaction. So, you know, on the video platforms, I think it's really easy to go and bring people on and talk to people. And you know, if you disagree with us, great, come on and tell us. If you agree with us, then come on and tell us as well. So, like I say, we have got quite a few people on Zoom. So if you do want to say anything nice about me, great, or otherwise, then come on and say a couple of things. But just talking about this, Ange, who do you think is going to go up? Because West Brom have got a bit of a tricky game, haven't they, against QPR? Although QPR mid-table, safe. But I think QPR will be up for wanting to get one over on West Brom. And of course, Brentford have got what most would consider quite an easy game as well. But so it'd be interesting to see who makes that second spot. And whoever you think makes the third spot, who would you see going up out of the remaining ones in the playoffs?
I think West Brom and Brentford will go up, whichever way round. I think those two will go up. I don't really want West Brom to go up, purely because, from the selfish point of view, it's not a difficult game to get to. If they're still in this division, it's quite just down the road. Brentford's a bit of a pain to get to. But I think they'll both go up. And you know what? I think Brentford deserve it. I'm more interested in what happens. You've got the English Football League, who decided what was happening in the first and second division, and the non-league. And it looks like the English Football League will decide who's going to get relegated with the different degrees of points that they're going to take off people with the different punishments. And I think integrity of football, for me personally, went the minute that COVID, the matches were allowed to restart without fans. And these drinks breaks that take place, it was just purely a drinks break. It's and no way were coaches supposed to be part of it. They're now coaching breaks. And drinks break in the first half of football in the summer in England aren't needed. Maybe the second half. But even that's questionable. I just think the whole thing's been dreadful. I know the country had to get back on its feet, but I think they could have... I personally would not have started football back until some spectators were in the stand. Having said that, my God, you can realise how much fans matter in football now, because watching cardboard cutouts of Osama bin Laden, Barack Obama... all sorts of people, you know, the idiots who've put cutouts of people that haven't been noticed. Yeah, there's been some lovely ones of people's fathers, children who are no longer with us. That's been great. They've raised a lot of money for charity. But for me, I just want now Wigan to stay up, because I've tried to think, if that had been Stoke, and I said it the other week, if it had been Stoke, and through no fault of the people working at the club, through no fault of the players, through no fault of the fans, they'd have got relegated. I'd have just been incandescent with rage. And to think now that they're going to possibly get a 12-point deduction and go down, having played the football they've played, to me is just wrong. And then you've got Sheffield Wednesday, who've done the wrong thing. Derby, apparently. Birmingham. You could end up with the bottom three staying up because the FA put sanctions on the other three, and that to me is not football. So I'm sorry, I waffled on a bit there, Gareth.
No.
Do you think, just before we wind up, and I know we're overrunning a little bit, but do you think that Lee Gregory can become the new Johnny Walters? I've never thought he was as good as Johnny Walters, but if you watch him in the last couple of games, he's really put a shift in, and if we work on his finishing, he could be another person that's got back into the good books.
Yeah, he's strong. He's good in the air. My goodness, he can head a ball, can't he? He's a decent player. I think it very much depends on who he's alongside, really. I'd really like to see somebody with pace alongside Lee Gregory. So Lee Gregory doing the muscle and working with somebody who's got real pace, and it'd be interesting to see him. How do you think he'd fare with Benny Kofobe, should Benny Kofobe come back? Do you see that as a decent goal scoring partnership, Gregory and Kofobe?
Well, I thought Gregory and Hogan were looking quite good, and then of course that didn't work out, but I do think it could be a decent partnership. And then you've got Tyrese Campbell, who for whatever reason doesn't seem to last 90 minutes, and I'm just beginning to wonder whether he ever will, because that could be a genetic makeup thing. He maybe doesn't have the engine to last 90 minutes, but he's certainly got the ability to cause trouble. And I think Sam Vokes has played very well since lockdown. I think Sam Vokes has held the ball up really well. But the other thing before we go, Gareth, I'd like to say is, don't you think it's very odd how composed Adam Davies has been in goal? All the bad reports about him, I saw him in the under-23s, he didn't look like he had any confidence. Maybe it was nerves, or maybe he felt inferior to Jack Butland. But he's literally grabbed the first chance he's had with both hands and made some super saves. And you know what? I think the defence and the team has looked more assured.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Now, here's an interesting question. Do you think he's looked a bit more composed, and it's helped him not having a crowd there? Do you think, even though you're at home, it's intimidating for a player like that, and he can actually get a few matches under his belt, proper league games, before the crowd start getting back introduced? Do you think that's had a bit of an effect, do you think?
I think that's a very good point, and I think it probably has. I'd not thought of that. But yeah, good. Well, let's hope he doesn't freeze when the crowds come back, because there is a possibility that October or November there will be a certain amount of fans allowed into stadiums. Apparently at the start it'll only be home fans. How they quite work that out, I wouldn't like to be involved in that, out of a hat or whatever, who knows. But it's going to be difficult to segregate people if somebody like scores, because you know what happens. People, I've hugged people who I don't even know when Stoke have scored a goal. You know, you just do, don't you? It's just joyful. So we're a long way to go to getting back to normal, but it would just be so nice to see fans in the stadium. I mean, we've got a cup semi-final going on at the moment, and the way it is, it looks like it's going to be an all-London final, so I aren't bothered about watching it anyway. But watching it in an empty Wembley, the FA Cup final, it just, to me,
it's a bit soulless, isn't it?
It's completely soulless. And if nothing now, it proves how important fans are to football. But I guess we ought to go now. And I'd like to thank you for becoming the more updated version of Sulky Russell, who decided when football wasn't going to have fans, it wasn't going to have him on Not FM. And I'm going to let the listeners decide whether Russell is missed or not. I certainly miss him, because I don't argue as much with you, Gareth, and I'm an argumentative sort of person. But I'd just like to thank all the listeners. We know some people who tried to listen on TuneIn tonight have struggled. TuneIn's giving an error message, and I believe that that is a problem with TuneIn, not us. So thank you for listening on the Listen Again. We'd like to thank everybody for listening. We don't know when we'll be back. We may well do a show just before the start of the season, whenever it is. But we will be back bigger and better, or maybe not bigger, but hopefully better in the coming year. And we hope you have a lovely close season, however long it is. Gareth, what's the play-out music? And thanks for everything.
So the play-out music this week is quite apt. It Ain't Over Till It's Over by Lenny Kravitz. Have a fantastic summer, everyone. Have a fantastic summer.